Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Can you perform miracles? If not, you are disqualified from the job of caretaker of your life.
Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 6, in verse 25. We'll read through the end of the chapter. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you, by worrying, could add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now let's take a look at verse 27 for number 5. The fifth cause of stress is self-reliance. Look at verse 27. Who of you, by worrying, could add a single hour to his lifespan? That question is designed to draw our attention to our own inability to do anything about the stuff that we're worried about. You can't do anything about it. Worry is a sign that you're trusting in your own resources. And trusting in your own resources creates a lot of anxiety because we don't have any resources. And so it's a bummer when you have to rely on nothing, right? You feel like you need to do something, you have to take care of something, but you don't have the resources to do it. That creates a lot of stress. So ironically, one of the solutions to stress is to simply remind yourself that you're completely inadequate for any task. You don't have any resources. Because the more you realize your own bankruptcy, the less you'll tend to rely on your own resources and turn to God. If you stop looking to yourself as the solution to your own problems, then you won't be stressed out over the fact that you don't have a solution. So Jesus points out our inability to do anything, and it's kind of funny. I think he has a comical way of saying this. The word translated hour in verse 27 is actually the word cubit. Cubit, that's a unit of measure, linear measure. It's 18 inches. A cubit is 18 inches. And the word translated lifespan, halakia, that word can mean, it can refer to age, but it also can refer to stature. For example, in Luke 19, verse 3, it says, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but because of the crowd, he could not, since he was small in halakia, stature. So it can mean, it can refer to physical size. Now, halakia can mean stature, or it can mean age. And so most translators take it to mean age, and then they just assume, well, Jesus must be using the word cubit in kind of like a figurative way, like a segment, you know, and he's saying you can't add a segment onto your life. And the reason they assume that is because it seems to fit the context better. I mean, it seems weird to say, well, to talk about adding height to your stature. It seems like it fits the context a little better to talk about adding to the length of your life. And so they take it as figurative. And another reason they do that is Jesus talks about this like it's a very small thing. He says, you can't even add one single cubit. Well, that makes it sound like one single cubit is nothing, but adding a half a yard to your height, that's not a tiny little thing. That's a huge thing, right? So Most people take this in a figurative way, meaning you can't even add a segment to the end of your lifespan. And that's a possibility. I acknowledge that as a possibility. However, I'm not convinced for a couple of reasons. First, even though halakia can refer to age, when it's used with a word like cubit, I think the most natural understanding is to take it to refer to physical stature. As a general rule, I never assume something is figurative unless it doesn't make sense literally. You know, when something doesn't make any sense literally, then you assume it's a figure of speech. But if it does make sense literally, we should take it literally. And I think this makes sense if you understand that what Jesus is doing here is using satire. It's kind of a funny image. He's using a comical image designed to make a point. It's just like the next section, the very next paragraph, where Jesus talks about having a log in your eye. You're trying to pick a speck out of someone else's eye, and you got this big beam coming out of your eye, and you're trying to see it. And it's a funny picture. And I think it's Jesus is doing the same thing here. He's using humor to show us how unqualified we are to be the ones who worry about our own well-being. You're just not qualified for that. You can't even do a miracle. That's the point. Another reason why I think this is the correct interpretation is because in the parallel passage in Luke 12:26, Jesus actually goes on to say, since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? What is the rest? The rest is sustaining your own life. So Jesus' argument is, if you can't even do this tiny little thing of adding a cubit, then you certainly can't sustain your life, the big thing. But if adding a cubit means extending the length of your life, I don't see how that one is big and one is small. They're the same thing. It doesn't make sense to me to say, if you can't even do the little thing of adding length to your life, then you certainly can't do the big thing of sustaining your life. Why is one big and one little? This seems to me they're the same thing. So I don't think that's right. I think he means cubit in a literal way. That's my rationale for my interpretation. I'm definitely in the minority for sure in this interpretation, so you can decide for yourself. But either way, whatever you decide, the point, I think, is the same. You are utterly disqualified for the job of preserving your own life, and you need to step down immediately. You're disqualified, step down. You need to tender your resignation as sustainer of your own well-being because you are so underqualified. You can't even do a miracle. Imagine you're working for a publishing company, and it's your job to hire, this publishing company is coming out with a new English translation of the Bible, and it's your job to hire the next general editor. And so you sit the interviewee down, and you ask the person, you say, well, we'll start with some basics here. Just tell me your skills, how fast can you type, how fast can you read, and all this stuff. What would make you a good general editor for an English Bible translation? And the guy looks back at you with a quizzical look and says, no hablo inglés. And you say, oh, well, maybe you're not the ideal guy for this if you can't even speak English and as a general editor for an English Bible translation. That's us in verse 27. There we are, sitting across the desk from Jesus, interviewing for the job of being the ones to sustain our own lives and to be in charge of our own well-being. And Jesus begins the interview this way. He says, well, we'll start with something simple. You want to be in charge of your own well-being? Okay, let's start with something very, very basic. Can you, by worrying, make yourself a half a yard taller? He's like, wow, I could get some high heels, really big hat and go try and, but... He said, or, some kid might say, oh, I could just grow for a few years, And he said, no, I didn't say by growing. I said by worrying. Notice, he says, which of you can do that by worrying? So Jesus looks out over the crowd. He says, all right, show of hands. Just tell me, how many of you are so adept at worrying? You're such skilled worriers. You can just go home, sit down at your kitchen table, worry, and then stand up and you're foot and a half taller. Let's just show of hands. And, of course, the crowd chuckles and laughs, and Jesus says, if you can't even do that little tiny thing, you're obviously not the candidate for this position of sustainer of life. You can't even do a miracle, a little miracle. You can't be the one to be in charge of worrying about your well-being. I think that's what Jesus is saying. So I think Jesus meant cubit in a literal way. It's an intentionally ridiculous picture for the purpose of making an emphatic point. He takes something that for us is ridiculously huge and says, you know, for somebody who's actually qualified for this position of sustainer of life, that would have to be really tiny. And so, you're not qualified. The only skill we have going for us is our ability to worry, and worry doesn't even work. And not only does it not make you a foot and a half taller, it doesn't do anything. Nothing. It accomplishes nothing. You know, I've heard the old joke about the guy who said, oh, don't tell me worrying doesn't do any good. I know for a fact it works because all the things I always worry about, none of it ever happens. Well, that joke, that Jesus is using, making the exact same point as that joke is making. Whatever is going to happen, it's either going to happen or not happen, regardless of whether you worry. Worrying has no effect on it. There are some people, probably in this room, who would have to admit that the hardest thing you ever had to face in your life so far was something that never even happened. And the only reason you had to face it was because you worried about it. And God, it wasn't even God's plan for you to have to face that thing. It never even happened. It wasn't even in the cards. But you faced it anyway because you worried about it. So what are the causes of anxiety? They're all in the heart. They're all in the heart. Having treasure on earth, having a low view of God's love and His power, having a low view of how much God treasures His own children, having a low view of the kingdom, not valuing the kingdom supremely, and having a high view of yourself and your own resources, counting on your own resources as the solution to your problems, and getting stressed out because you don't have enough resources.
When Jesus says you're disqualified from being the one to worry about your life because you can't even perform a simple miracle, you might respond by asking, how does that help me? This thing I'm worried about really is important. I care a lot about it. So how does my powerlessness help me stop worrying? Seems like that would make me worry even more. It would, if you see yourself as the savior of your own life. Then powerlessness creates tremendous anxiety. But if you see God as the caretaker, then if you care a lot about something really important that's outside of your control, the energy of that caring will intensify your prayers, which is the proper use of that energy, rather than letting it just boil inside you, which is self-destructive. Let the energy of anxiety intensify your prayers. Then remind yourself that by praying so earnestly, you have made great progress in solving the problem. And now you can rest in whatever God does.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.